evening.
Good evening.
Appreciated that song. It's been a long time since I heard that song, Sister Joy, that she sang. Tremendous song. And thankful for God's work in my life, even when it doesn't feel good. Amen. I know it's for our good. And God has been good to us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And when the storms around you cease, it's because the Prince of Peace has already walked ahead of you. And I know He will see you through.
Are the trials that you're facing
around you cease, it's because the Prince of Peace has already walked ahead of you, and I know He will see you through. When the storm around you rages and the strong winds knock you down, when the lights of hope are fading, it's there.
Yes, I know He will see you through.
Amen. Come here.
Amen. Hallelujah. This next song we're going to sing is a new one to us. A tremendous song. And listen closely to the words. I believe you'll be blessed by it. Think about ministry of Christ, and the title of this song is called Everything You Touch.
Wounded man, ears that had never
I sang this last night, but I'm going to sing again tonight. Called His Life for Mine. Stir us somewhere. Thank God. What love divine. That's the only kind of love that lasts, is divine love. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. that whosoever, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you are, does not matter. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have present possession, amen, have everlasting life. Thank God for salvation.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I am in a strait betwixt two. And I can't preach them both, brother. Amen. I appreciate the sentiment, but I can't preach them both. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to have a couple preachers pray that God would lead. I have two messages on my heart. And I want to know the perfect will of God, whichever one he would want preached tonight. And so I'm going to ask Brother Mike if you'd stand and pray. And then Brother Amos, if you'd pray when he gets done. And let's seek the Lord and see what he has for us next.
Father, we do thank you now for prayers and songs we've heard to speak to our heart. Lord, we come to you to ask the preacher God, wisdom, understanding, lead the Lord. God, you say we're not trusted all the way, but lead unto thee. You would break our path. We just ask you now to preach, be led by the Holy Ghost of God. We thank you, Lord, that God brings come and dwells us. God, you're able to speak to us, lead us, and guide us, give us peace about your way. We just pray, God, tonight that our hearts will be lifted up. Forget about the things of this world,
yes,
and discourage and take us away and the things of our life and our mind that hinder our learning, listening, and your will. God, just speak now and believe God's will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you that you've given us this opportunity tonight, that you have brought us here together. Lord, it's a good thing when the people of God can come together and sing praises to God. It's a good thing when our hearts can be drawn closer towards you. Lord, we're about to get into the preaching segment of tonight's service. We ask that you would guide and direct the preacher. Help him to say what you would have us to hear. Help him to have discretion. Help him to speak wisely. Help them to have a dispensation of your Spirit, that he may boldly and with passion proclaim the truth that you have us tonight here. Lord, we ask that you would be also with us in the pew, that we would not simply gaze on and watch and be entertained, but that our hearts might be open to your words. Hear what the Spirit says to us tonight, that we would look to the mirror of God's Word and see where we need to change, and that we would leave here and change, not simply walking away and forgetting whatever we heard. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would come down and relate to this sermon. We'll teach you tonight. Blessing. Something great might happen here tonight. Something lasting. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 14. Thank you for praying, gentlemen. And I believe God has given leadership. Exodus chapter 14. I want to look at a word in the Bible tonight. The word entanglement. Entanglement. And I want us to consider this. And I believe that in the day in which we live, this is one of the chief problems among God's people, is we get entangled in things that we should not be entangled in. We get caught up with things that in light of eternity do not matter. And so let's look at the Bible together. Exodus chapter 14. And if you find it, stand with me if you're able. We'll read the text this evening. Exodus 14, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." I want to look at this word, entangled. And there's about four or five references in the Bible that have this word in it. And I don't know if we'll look at all of them tonight, but we'll look at hopefully all what God would have us to look at. And I want us to really think about this entanglement tonight. And as we look at the Scripture, I want us to look also, allow the Scripture to look at our lives and act as a mirror so that we can see if there's some entanglement in our life that is keeping us from God's best, that's keeping us from God's will, that's keeping us from fellowship with God and a walk with God. And if God would be so good to us tonight to reveal that to us, I pray that we'd be willing to cut loose of that entanglement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come to you and we ask, Lord, that you would guide us now. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing here in these days. I would say it's unusual. And Lord, we're thankful because we don't want the usual. We want the supernatural. God, we pray that you would work again tonight. Do what only you can do, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Exodus chapter 14, we know that the children of Israel have just experienced deliverance from Egyptian bondage. This is the great theme of the Old Testament, I believe, is God calling out a people unto himself. And that theme carries forward into the New Testament with the church. The theme is God calling out a people unto himself. And there is God's will and God's ideal. And then there is the present circumstance that we find ourselves in and the hindrances that the devil puts in the way. The devil does not want us living in God's will. He does not want us close to the Lord. He does not want us living in victory. He wants us defeated. He wants us in bondage. He wants us entangled with the things of this life. And here, as they're leaving Egyptian bondage, the path that they're on takes them to the sea, and so they're hedged in. Their way appears to be blocked, and there's always going to be obstacles that are going to be set before us. But I want us to realize tonight that it was not the devil that made the Red Sea. It was the Lord. And the path that they were on was the leadership of the Lord. And many times we look at obstacles as things that the devil puts in our way, but many times God allows obstacles in our lives so that we'll look to him and to realize his deliverance. Pharaoh here, he only sees things carnally. He only sees things naturally. And he looked at what the children of Israel were up against, and he said they are entangled in the land. There's no way out for them. They're going to be at my mercy again. And that is what the devil wants us to be. He wants us, as God's people, he wants us to be entangled in the land. I believe that one of the things that God is working in my heart about, and I believe that one of the things he's working in the church about and has been since he went back to heaven, is this thought: this world is not our home. We are so comfortable. We are so ingrained in this society that we forget
that our home is beyond the sea, amen? Beyond the river. Our home is on the other side. Our home is in heaven. We are a heavenly people. That means we are a spiritual people, not a natural people. We are God's people. We're not the devil's people. We are citizens first of heaven. There are so many, I believe, sadly, even among God's people, who are entangled in this land. I thank God for this land. I appreciate this land. But this land is not the land that we should be living for or dying for. It ought to be God's land. Heaven is our eternal home. That's where our citizenship lies. And many of us have been entangled in the land. God wants us to see beyond this world, beyond this life. He instructs us in Colossians chapter 3 to set your affection on things above, right, not on things on the earth. Right. That is a constant reminder that I have to have every day, throughout the day. Don't get my sights set on this world or the things of this world. The only thing in this world that's going to last forever is this Bible and the souls of men and women.
Right,
that's it. Everything else is going to perish. Everything else is going to decay and pass away. It's so easy for us to get entangled in the land. Pharaoh wanted them to be so wrapped up and so hedged in by the things of the world that they would never leave Egypt. And it's sad to say that even though we have been saved and delivered by God's grace, many times we get wrapped up in the things that we were delivered from to begin with.
Right.
This entangling is a very dangerous thing. To entangle means to twist or interweave. I'm just reading to you from the dictionary. To twist or interweave in such a manner as not to be easily separated.
Right.
To twist or interweave in such a manner as not to be easily separated. I believe it'd be a wonderful goal for us as believers, as the children of God, to make it a goal in our lives to be easily separated from the things of this world.
Right.
Now, we understand we're in this world, and the devices of the world and the course of this world, it's all around us. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But the tentacles of the world are constantly grabbing at our soul and at our lives and at our minds and at our hearts.
Right.
And it's a constant battle to keep ourselves separated from the things of this world.
Right.
Separation is still a biblical doctrine.
Amen.
I remember when I was a kid, I heard about it all the time. You go to church and they preach about separation all the time. And now it seems like we don't hear about it as much.
Right.
Yeah.
And this idea of separation has been just kind of kicked to the curb. But I believe it is because we have gotten so entangled with this world that we've forgotten that we've been called to be separate.
Right.
Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
When you're entangled with the things of this world and of this life, it's not easy to be separated from them. To entangle means to involve in anything complicated. You ever heard somebody just say, well, I would explain it to you, but it's complicated? You know, the Bible tells us there's simplicity in Christ.
Right.
The Christian life is not difficult to understand.
Right.
It's not hard to understand. Our problem is not that we don't know what to do, it's that we don't do what we know.
Right.
The Christian life is simple. It's living each day with heaven in mind and walking with God. It's elevating your relationship with God above any other relationship. You know, Jesus summed up all 613 commandments in two. He said on all these commandments, all the law, all the prophets, they hang on two commands. What are the commands? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
If we got those two things down, we'd be set. Because if we love God supremely, then His heart would be our heart. And His goals would be our goals. And His will would be our will. And His path would be our path.
Amen.
And you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll do no evil to him. There's simplicity in Christ, but there's complication in being entangled with this world.
Amen.
That's why you ought to be careful, young people, about the relationships you allow yourselves to get in.
Amen.
Because you start getting entangled with someone that doesn't love God, and your life becomes complicated. How many times have we seen someone who's saved marry a lost person, and now it's not as simple to live for God as it used to be.
Right.
Now you've got split loyalties. You have loyalty to God because He saved you, but now you have loyalty to a spouse who wants nothing to do with God. And you have responsibilities to the Lord, and you also have responsibilities to your mate.
Right.
And when God's will and your mate's will is not the same thing, it makes things complicated.
Right.
Don't get entangled. The Bible says, be not yoked together with unbelievers. Why? That's an entanglement, that yoke. That yoke means you're tied together. And how many homes have busted up, and how many kids have grown up in broken homes because that scripture was not followed. The entanglements of this world, they bring complication. They bring difficulties. Entangle means to involve in difficulties unnecessarily. How much in our lives are we wrapped up in, and they're pulling at us, and they're not even necessary?
Right, man.
I understand. You men, you got to work a job. You got to provide for your family. That's a biblical principle. You need to do that.
Yeah.
There are very few godly environments to work in.
Right.
I understand that as well. And so there are things, you're going to have to face things at your job that you hopefully don't have to face at home. Amen?
Yeah.
And you hopefully don't have to face in the church. But you've got to do it. It's a necessary, what we would call a necessary evil. A necessary burden. A necessary, what's the word? Difficulty. But you know, God gives us grace for those necessary difficulties. Here's where we really get in trouble. When we start bringing on unnecessary difficulties in our lives.
Right.
Unnecessary entanglements.
Right.
Think with me. Think in your life. What are some things in your life that you don't need that are pulling you away from God?
Yes, sir.
They're not necessary. They might be enjoyable. They might be something that you've always done. They might be tradition, but they're not necessary. So maybe God would say to our hearts tonight, you know, those things are an entanglement. To entangle means to perplex or distract, as with cares. How many distractions do we have in life that take away from our time with God or take away from our commitment to the Lord, to His Word, to His church?
Right.
These are entanglements.
Right.
The devil is smart. He knows he's not going to get you to do those awful, wicked sins. And so he gets you tied up with these things that look harmless.
Right.
You know, think of a, when I think of an entanglement, I think of a little string. And you know, just a little string is not going to hold you back. But if you get wrapped up enough in it, it will hold you back. You get enough entanglements, you get enough things of this world, things of the flesh, things that you don't need, they're not necessary, they're not a part or should not be a part of your life. And though they may not look bad outwardly, they are pulling you back, they are weighing you down, they are keeping you from God's best.
Right.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12 talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are weights in our lives. There are entanglements. There's difficulties that we pull on and we bring on ourselves. We get entangled and we cannot follow God's will for our lives.
Right.
Now, thankfully here, the devil's plan and Pharaoh's plan was to entangle them in the land and keep them from leaving Egypt. But God had the power to deliver them by supernatural means.
Right.
And that's a theme I just keep returning to. Because for too long, we have done things in our own power. And I want us to see, it's not just church stuff we need God for. It's not just nation stuff that we need God for.
Right.
It's family issues.
Right.
It's marriage issues. It's heart issues.
Right.
Well, I can stop doing that anytime I want. I can get rid of that entanglement anytime I want. You know, this entanglement that they came up against, or this potential entanglement that they came up against, there was no way that they could have overcome this or defeat this on their own.
Right.
They needed the help of God. They needed the power of God. That passage, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to try to get to some of the other ones, but we may not. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. So many scriptures that we quote, we take them out of their context and we try to apply them in ways that they were never intended for. And this is one of these quotes, I believe, in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. We quoted it, I believe, on Sunday. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
I believe these verses to be 100% true. Amen?
Right.
But what is the context that they're given in? Well, if you look in chapter 3 of Ephesians, it's a prayer. It's a prayer that Paul is praying, and he says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." This is the context. He's saying, listen, you need strength in your inner man. You need deliverance. And I would say we need deliverance from entanglement. And you say, well, how do I do this? Well, you don't do this. God does it.
Amen.
You may be looking at something in your life, and God's put his finger on something in your life, and you know it's an entanglement. And you say, I've tried to quit that before. I've laid it aside. I pick it back up. I've tried to cast my burden on the Lord. I picked it back up. That worry, that care, that secret sin. And able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He has the power to strengthen our inner man beyond what we can imagine we could ever do. Even beyond what we could imagine that he could do. Isn't it good to know that we have a God that's not bound by our finite minds? He doesn't work within the bounds of what we think is reasonable. He's able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
That's our God. He's able to give us that strength in the inner man. He's able to cause us to understand the love of God and our hearts to be grounded by faith. He's able to give us knowledge that will pass knowledge.
Right.
Say, what do you mean? Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You ever thought about that? How do I know something that passes knowledge? How can we know something that we can't know? That's really what he's saying. To know the love of God which passeth knowledge. This is the only way I can understand it and explain it. There are some things I know to be true by experience that I cannot explain to you or write it out the formula on a piece of paper. It does not make sense any way I can think about it, but I know it to be true because I have experienced it. When you talk about the love of God, I cannot explain how a holy, righteous, perfect God could love me, why he would want to love me, why he would give his son for me. I cannot explain that love. I can't write it down. I can't articulate it well enough to explain why God loves me, but I know that he loves me.
Amen.
Because I've experienced his love.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
God's able to put that knowledge of the love of Christ in us. The point where we can't explain it, but we know it's true. Some folks have the entanglement of not being able to believe that God would love them, or that God would forgive them, that God would cleanse them, that God would look upon them as not guilty. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. It does not matter. It doesn't matter how often you've done it. We don't understand this love because our love has limits. We would never say this, but we will love you as long as you don't do this or you do this.
Yeah.
But God's love is so far above our own. It's so superior. His love is not limited to you or to your actions. It's limitless. The devil wants to get you entangled in whatever he can. Let me say this, it really doesn't matter to him what entanglement you fall prey to. As long as you're entangled, he's happy. And here's another danger that we have. We look at our entanglement and we deem it to be less serious or not as bad as someone else's entanglement, and therefore we feel good about ourselves.
Boy.
Preacher a long time ago told me, he said, Mark, he said, the devil doesn't care what you get your eyes on as long as they're not on Jesus. He doesn't care. Religion, that's fine. He'll take that. Sins of the flesh, he's good with that. Sins of the Spirit, He's good with that. Living for this world and not the next, He's good with that. He doesn't care. Can I say this? If I can say it the right way, Lord help me. It doesn't matter to the Lord what it is you have your eyes on. If they're not on Him, they're not worth looking at. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. The Lord's not going to say, okay, well, your entanglement was not as bad as His entanglement, and so I'm more pleased with you than I am with Him.
Yeah.
We, I have four older brothers. We get in trouble all the time. Usually we'd be fighting each other. And we would always want to, especially if I was if I wasn't the one who started it, I always wanted to make sure that Mom knew I didn't start. Now, I don't know why I was so concerned about that, because the result was the same. Whether I started it or didn't start it, I got the same whipping as the one who started it. And we have this thing where we justify ourselves in our own eyes. Well, my sin is not as bad as His. And I'm not as entangled as she is or he is, and so I'm okay. I'm saying anything that keeps us from God is a reproach to our God.
Amen.
And it's a grievous sin against God. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how well we paint the outside.
Yeah.
If it's an entanglement, if it's taking the place that God alone deserves, it's wicked, it's evil, it's sinful.
Amen.
In 2 Peter 2, it talks about the children of Israel got entangled in the pollutions of this world. That's one of the things the devil is going to try to get you entangled in, especially you young people. He's going to try to pollute you with this world. And he's going to try to get you entangled in things that you should not be entangled in. And listen, sin by nature is an entangler. You don't just visit sin and then leave it and come back and visit it again. No, when you come into contact with sin, it's like a disease.
Yeah.
You pick it up and it stays with you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And it gets in your heart and entangles its way into your mind. And pretty soon, it's entangled all into your flesh and your daily life. And it starts pulling you away from God. It starts pulling you away from church. It starts pulling you away from your parents and away from your pastor and away from godly influences.
Yeah.
And you start saying stuff like, well, they don't really understand me. It's complicated. No, it's not complicated. The condition that you're in is real simple. You got entangled with something. And you need to be delivered. But there's no doubt in my mind, there are people in this room tonight, you are entangled with gross sin. So how do you know, preacher? Well, as far as I can tell, everybody in here is sitting in a body of flesh. It's shocking. The sins of this generation and how rampant they are among God's people. Shocking. What happened? How did we get entangled in that? Well, it started with just playing around with it over here. And saying, well, it's okay. Not a big deal. You're overreacting. And this is what the devil will do. See, the preacher gets up and he preaches and he says it's going to destroy your life. And then out of curiosity, you say, well, I'm just going to see.
Yeah. Right.
And you play with it, and you don't die. Everything seems okay. Nobody found out. Nobody's the wiser. Maybe the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yes, sir. No.
Maybe they're all just over acting, overreacting. They're just trying to be overcautious. And that sin, the devil is so sneaky, that sin, just that first little strand comes around. And it doesn't feel like a chain. Feels like a hug.
Yeah.
Feels like a snuggle.
Yes, sir.
Feels like it's okay. But it doesn't stay that way. It's spider webs. It grows. That one shoot, that one branch, another shoot comes around. Another thing springs up over here. Before you know it, you are locked in. That entanglement, that filthy pollution has a hold of you.
Yeah.
He talks about in Galatians chapter 5 about being entangled again with the yoke of bondage, dealing with false doctrine. It's amazing to me how many Christians today do not. They're so easily swept up by every wind of doctrine that blows through. But it's really simple. They're not in their Bibles. They're skipping Sunday school. Prayer meeting, Bible study night is being neglected or slept through.
We don't know our Bibles.
Right.
We don't read.
Right.
That's something that's fallen by the wayside as these devices have moved in.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
We're not ignorant of his devices. You know what the devices have done? They kick books out. We have books on the table back there. It's not to make money. Because we don't make any money off those. We don't even charge for them. We just, whatever you want to give for them, we'll take it. It's because I have a desire to get books in people's hands. These young people, they need to read. Pick up a book.
Right.
I'm looking forward to reading that book that just got last night. It's called, what's it called? Satan's Devices? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's written by a friend of mine, and he was he has a bachelor of science degree. He studied that's what I do. He studied neuroscience, the brain, and just wrote a book on the effects of screens upon children and upon all of us. I'm looking forward to reading that. Mm-hmm. Our children don't read books anymore. We don't read books anymore.
Right.
What, and so therefore, along with all the other books, the Bible's got pushed inside.
Right.
I encourage people to read those books, get those books, read those books. But nothing replaces the Bible.
Amen.
Right.
Read the Bible.
I know it's easier. I know it's easier just to pick up your phone. You say, oh, I got my Bible on the phone. I know you do. I've got one too. But I'm telling you, there's something about opening that book. God could have gave us a smartphone, but he didn't. He gave us a book.
Amen.
Read the book. It'll keep you from false doctrine. False doctrine is entangling so many that used to supposedly stand on the book. Now they've gone astray because they've been entangled with false doctrine. Just listening. It starts by listening. You better be careful who you listen to. In this day of, you can listen to whatever preacher you want to listen to. Can I give you a word of advice? God gave you a pastor. And that pastor will bring in preachers as God leads him. Listen to that pastor, listen to the preachers he brings in, and shut off all the rest of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this guy over here, he's really good. I'm sure he is. But God didn't give you him. Listen, God gave you a pastor. God gave you men who can stand up and preach God's word and shut off all the YouTube preachers and just get in church and listen to God's man preach to you and your family.
Yes, sir.
Then the text that I'm sure we're all aware of in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to spend a few minutes here, as God would lead. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He gives the analogy of a soldier. We're told that we are soldiers of the Lord. We are to be good soldiers. There's different kinds of soldiers. There's bad soldiers, but I want to be a good soldier. And a good soldier, he tells us here, does not get entangled with the affairs of this life.
Yes, sir.
There are many causes. David said, "Is there not a cause?" There's lots of causes. You could spend your life on any one of them. But as God's people, we have one cause. And that's the cause of the Lord. That's the cause of Jesus Christ. And the great danger that's taking place, I believe, in our churches in America, Christians are more in tune with the cause of this nation than they are the cause of their Savior.
Amen.
You say, "We keep beating that drum." I know. Because that's where we're at. There was more mourning. Listen, there was more mourning over a lost election than I've seen over lost souls in years. What are we preaching? Who is our King?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I was disappointed. And honestly, I mourned. Because I was fearful for my country and concerned for my children. God had to bring me back to that blessed old book.
Yes.
And show me, listen, this is our cause.
Amen.
This is our cause.
Yeah.
Have we been disappointed somehow? Not if we've read the book.
Yeah.
Nothing is going opposed to the way that God said it would go. It's right in lockstep with the scripture. Things are getting worse and worse. And Christians are mourning over the fact that the Bible is true.
Right.
Come on, Christian, wake up!
Amen.
It's a ploy of the devil to get us entangled in this life.
Right.
You know what a good soldier does? He does not get entangled with affairs that do not concern him and his calling as a soldier. My heart goes out to those soldiers that just had to leave Afghanistan. I don't watch the news. I've just seen a few clips. I saw some of those people hanging on those planes. I can't imagine the desperation that they were feeling, that they would hang on to a jet trying to leave that country because of what awaited them.
Right.
I can't imagine. My heart was breaking watching that.
Yep.
But you know, my heart also
also broke for those soldiers. Because those soldiers, they're people. They have feelings. They care. And they're leaving all these people behind. And you think, how could they do this? They did it because they had a duty. They had a responsibility. And even though their heart was leading them to do one thing, they understood they had a command to obey. And a dictate to follow. Christians, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We've been given a commission. We've been given a cause. Let's stay on point.
Amen.
Let's not get entangled with the affairs of this life. That's going to involve hardness. Hardness. I always, when I read this, I always make sure to note this. It doesn't say, thou therefore evade hardness. It says, endure hardness. When you're a good soldier, that means there's going to be things you're going to go through that are hard. But you do your duty. Why? Because the soldier understands he has one goal. What is that goal? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Amen.
Our Savior is our commander. And he deserves our allegiance. He deserves our commitment.
Amen.
He deserves our single-hearted focus. And the great calling that we have is not to please those around us.
Yeah.
It's not even to please ourselves. Our calling is to please Him. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who else you please. If He's displeased, you're a failure. I'm a failure. Everybody can look at me and say, well, that Mark Thren, what a great guy. Maybe you don't say that, I don't know. We go places and, you know, we're the guests. And so we get showered with affection and platitudes, is that what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You know what I have to guard against? Not believing in one of them. Amen. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your desire to want to make me feel welcome and loved and appreciated, but I know that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Zero.
Right.
You know, there's a constant battle. When I stand up and preach the Word of God, the constant battle, you know what it is? Am I preaching for Him or am I preaching for you? Every preacher deals with it. Every time he stands up to preach the Word of God. Am I going to preach for the applause of men? Or am I going to preach for the pleasure of God? A good soldier understands that he has one to please. And that's God. And he also understands that the only way that he's going to please God is if he is free from entanglements of this life. It is a tall order to live in a place and not get entangled by it. You know what we naturally do? We naturally assimilate to the culture that we're in. Brother Mike, you'd understand this. Being a missionary, going all over the world, there's a pull, there's a draw. I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. And many times there's a good purpose to that. You want to be able to give them the gospel. You want to be able to. But it's just natural. It's a natural thing. You want to assimilate into the culture. That's natural. God calls us to live supernatural. It means we're going to need God's strength. If we're going to live in this world and not live like this world, we're going to need God's strength.
Amen.
Right. We can't. I was talking to Brother Cobb last night at the service. I said, we're getting to the point now in America, you're not going to be able to fake it anymore. You're a Christian. Just like our brothers and sisters all over this world.
Yeah.
It's coming down to the point where you can't fake it anymore.
Right.
And it both scares and excites me. It scares me because I want to be genuine.
Yeah.
I want to have strength.
Right.
To stand when it comes my way. I know we all stand up and say, praise God, I'll be faithful to death. I want to be faithful to death. Lord, please help me. I know naturally I would not be faithful unto death. So I need supernatural strength for that. What we're seeing, hopefully, is we've needed supernatural strength all along. All along we've needed supernatural strength. But because it's been easy, listen, because it's been easy, we've relied upon our own strength. And we've got entangled with the things of this world while keeping a nice exterior.
Right.
So that everybody thinks that we're free from the entanglement. So that everybody thinks that we're godly and we're living right and we have the power of God. Because you can fake it in these walls. You can. I'll tell you where it's harder to fake it. At home.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
On the job. A little more difficult.
Right.
We're getting to the point where you, it's not just going to be, I can be a Christian at church and then hide at the rest of my life. It's how God is hedging us in.
Right.
He is. You say, is this judgment on our nation? I don't know, but we certainly deserve it.
Right.
And when we have no leg to stand on to say, God, why are you doing this? We know exactly why. We've earned every last bit of it and more.
Right.
But it's coming down to a point we're going to see, are we a real soldier of Christ? You know what the prophet said? If the footmen have wearied you, what are you going to do when the horse is gone and the chariot is gone? I'm saying we don't have the strength to stand against the footmen.
Yeah.
We need the power of God.
Yeah.
Right.
We need the filling of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We need to get free from these entanglements. What's got you tied down? What's holding you back? What's pulling you away? It certainly is something that connects with the flesh. We have this flesh and we're going to have it until we check out of here, God comes back for us. So that's going to be a constant battle. You know what we're to do? We're to make sure that we don't make provision for the flesh.
Yeah.
Stop cooking for the flesh. Stop shopping for the flesh. Stop throwing the door open for the entanglements of the world to come in and wrap you up.
Right.
Turn off the television.
Right. Yeah.
Turn off the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Turn off the worldly music.
Right.
Yes.
Open the Bible. Open your heart. be entangled with you. I want your love wrapped around my heart. I want your righteousness wrapped around my soul. I want your truth wrapped around my spirit.
Right.
I want to get entangled with the Lord. I want to get ruined to this world.
Yep.
Man.
I want the world to look at me and say, oh, he's beyond hope. That's what I want. Paul said, I want to be crucified unto the world and the world unto me.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? I want the world to look at me and see nothing but a corpse. No way. No way we can. He holds nothing for us. And I want to look at the world the same way and say, the world holds nothing for me. It's nothing but death.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Oh, God. Lord, I don't want to be wrapped up in this world. I don't want to be wrapped up in the things of this world, even the things that we may think are not so bad. Lord, I want to have a laser focus upon you, upon your will, upon your way. God, help me. Help me to be honest. There's things in my life that I'm getting entangled in, that have wrapped themselves around my heart, my soul, my time. Lord, help me to bring it to you. By your grace, cut ties with those things that are entangling my life. God, I know if we ever see revival, it'll be as a result of your people coming clean before you with themselves, with one another, and cutting ties with this filthy, polluted world, cutting ties with false doctrine, cutting ties with the affairs of this life. God, help us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. It's about a nice close. We'll stand to our feet. You've heard the challenge tonight from the Word of God. I'd invite you to come do business with Him. If there's something or someone God has put on your heart, bring it to Him. Many are praying. There's time. No rush. So much easier to not get entangled than to have to get untangled.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it tonight. That first chord. cord the devil wraps around you doesn't feel like a chain. It feels like what you're looking for, what you think you need. You say, I've got it handled. Genuinely try to pull out of it. And we'll see how tied our soul is to that thing. Many are praying, and pray as long as you need to. The hymn of invitation, 489. Those that would choose to sing a hymn of invitation. 489 is the page number, I Surrender All. As we sing this number together, if you choose to, if you can sincerely do so, I would pray it as opposed to sing it. Steve, we're all set with the guitar spirit. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you helping. 489. All to Jesus, I surrender. I don't know what that means for you. I know what it means for me. Maybe there's something in your mind, something in your life, your heart. Say it's not a grievous sin. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anger. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you in song. All to Jesus, I